See y'all after a couple of weeks for a while. But tonight on your chair, you have an outline for a message about your summer. And you might say, well, I saw that outline last year. That's okay. You may have seen it the year before. But have you done anything about it? Did you do anything about it last summer? Let's try it on for size again. I heard a great man say one time, a sermon's not a sermon until you've preached it 50 times. You know, through the years, I've observed something about university students. Year by year, we see this. Students come, many not having a close walk with the Lord in high school. Some of you did. But you come and someone invites you to Vespers, someone in the dorms begins to show an interest in you, maybe gets you coming to FE and hanging around, begins to pray for you, and you have no idea how some people pray for you when you're a freshman. And you begin to come around, and God begins to do something in your heart. You begin to grow. You go to the Glen, you're about to spring break, and some of you begin to figure out a little bit about what it's all about, what we've been shooting for all year. And you begin to get serious about your relationship to the Lord, and then it's not long until school's out. And we all look forward to that time and a summer, those glorious days we're all looking forward to. What will they hold for you? And one of the things you need to think about, summer is going to be shorter than you can possibly imagine. I mean, it gets by in a hurry. And so, in the light of that, if you want to accomplish some things this summer, you need to give some thought to them early. And, you know, many students go away in the summer and they really lose ground. They've begun to grow, but they go back. And I want to remind you that when you go home this summer, you're going back home to the place of some of the greatest defeats you've ever experienced in your life. Some of you did not walk with God when you lived at home. And some of the things that really hindered your walk with God, you faced back when you were living at home. And so some of you will be going right back to the place in which, if you don't make some decisions and decide to do some things, it won't be any different now than it this summer than it was when you were in high school. And so, it's very, very important that you go home, and not that you just get a tan and then come back with a shriveled up soul, but that you have something else in mind other than just, I'm going to kick back and enjoy the summer. Now, I've watched this through the years too. Some students go home in the summer, and when they come back the next year, it's obvious God has done a tremendous work in their life during the summer. And what's the difference? You know, you can drive by a neighborhood and you see a beautiful lawn, and right next to it is one that's weeds and everything, and some people say, well, some people have pretty yards and some people don't. Well, I don't know if you've ever owned a yard or not, but it doesn't just happen. It's not just that these people have a pretty yard and these people don't. I mean, I can tell you something about the people that have a pretty yard. Somebody put some work on it. Well, it's not just that some students go home and, you know, everything goes right for them and they just grow, and some students go home and things just don't go right and they don't grow. But those that go home and really make progress during the summer are people who expend some effort. And they go home and they make some decisions, and sometimes some hard decisions, but some things that help them to invest their summer and have a profitable summer rather than just go home and spend the summer. And I want to share a couple of verses with you that are a little bit scary. One of them is 1 Corinthians 10:12. I believe you have it there. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. There's some of you, and you may think, well, boy, I'm in great shape going home for the summer. But you need to be aware that you could really lose ground. You remember David in Acts 13:22, after the Bible says, after God had removed Saul, he raised up unto them David to be king, concerning whom he said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will fulfill all the will of God. And God said of David, he was a man after his own heart. But you remember one day David, in the summer or in the spring, when kings go out to battle, when David probably shouldn't have been up on the rooftop in the first place, he probably should have been doing what you're supposed to do at that time of year, but he's walking up on the roof and he sees a woman taking a bath. Now, what should he have done? He should have done what Joseph did. And flee. Right. But he didn't. As a result of that, and David became involved in sin. And from that day forth, you read of the life of David, and it's never the same. And God told him that the sword would never depart from his house. Now, here was a man after God's own heart. That's what God said about him. If God looked at your heart tonight, would he say, ah, here's a student after my own heart? And we see what can happen even to a person who has a tremendous heart for God. It's not enough just to have a heart for God. Proverbs 13:4 says the soul of the sluggard. A sluggard is a lazy person. The soul of the sluggard desires. The problem is not with desire. The soul of the sluggard desires and has nothing. But the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. And then Proverbs 20, verse 4. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. Because he will not do what he ought to do when he should do it, the day comes in which he has nothing. And so God wants us to become people who build some discipline in our life. And 1 Timothy 4:7 says we ought to discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness. Now, remember, the summer's going to be shorter than you think it will be. It'll be amazing how fast it gets by. So those months, in order for you to get the most out of it, you can't just drift through the summer. You need to go home with some goals and some things in mind. You know, it was Andrew Murray, the great pastor in South Africa, who said, in leisure hours, I turn freely and naturally to what I love most. It's during our leisure hours. You know, if somebody could be a little fly on the wall and just see what you do when you have free time, they could tell a great deal about you. Because it's during your free time when your heart really shows up. And so what's really on your heart is what you do during your free time. Now, many times, probably during the school year, you thought, man, I wish I had more time to read the Bible. I wish I had more time to pray. I really wish I had time to spend more time with the Lord. I wish I had time to read some Christian books. Man, there's always pressure. If it's not a test, it's a paper. It's this is due, that's due. I really wish I had more time. Well, it may be for some of you, even though you have summer jobs, you have some evenings you could determine what you wanted to do. You know, I know sometimes in speaking to you, you think, well, you're rather ancient. And I really did go to college one time. And I went home one summer and determined I would spend 6 nights a week with God because I wanted to know Him. And unless something unusual happened, that's what I did. And in a little home where we lived, it wasn't all that big. I could sit in my room and hear what was going on the television coming through the walls. And so I knew, though, that God had more in mind than me go home and spend my time like basically my parents did, and like I saw many people doing. And so I determined I'm not going to give my summer to TV. And so I would memorize a verse a day that summer. And I'd review 74. And I wouldn't go to bed until I had done that. And I could read for a while. Read the Bible some. And I could pray some. And I could go walk down the road and pray. And that is one of the greatest summers of that I've ever spent in my life. And it was hard, but I knew God wanted to do something with my life, and I did not want to waste my summers. And so I would encourage you. I'm not saying you don't have fun, that you don't relax some, but if you go home with that mentality that, hey, I owe it to myself to just kick back and not do anything, you really will not grow this summer. And so I would say you need to get some things in mind. So let's talk about this for a minute. You know, Proverbs 22:3 says, the prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and suffer for it. God says if you're wise, you're going to look on down the road and you're going to see some of the evil that you could encounter, and you're going to hide yourself from it. Now, if you want to be stupid, just plow right on down and suffer for it. But see, if you'll give a little bit of thought to what you're going to be facing, you can make some intelligent decision. You can still have plenty of time. You know, you may can take in a few movies. You can have some fun. You can do a lot of fun things. But you learn to live by priorities even during the summer. And when you live by priorities, see, I try to do this in my own life, and as a result of it, I thoroughly enjoy life. I get to do a lot of fun things in life because I try to put first things first. Now, maybe, you know, there may be something down here watching a certain movie or doing a certain thing, and it may be way on down here about number 8 or 9, on the priority list. But if I get number 1 and 2 and 3 and these other things done, and then just like at the football game on Saturday afternoon or something like that, and I want to go, I go and I have a blast. But I don't go sit there thinking guilty because I didn't have a quiet time before I came and I needed to do this or I needed to do that. But you begin to learn to live by priorities. Now, let me just say this to you. Well, if you go home this summer and you determine before you left, okay, I've got a job, I've got to go to work. And especially I'd say this for you graduating seniors, and you have a job this summer. Fact is, Oni and I had a delightful time this afternoon. I mean, I don't know if Oni enjoyed as much as I did, but I loved it. And Oni's graduating. And you know, one of the things I said to Oni, let me tell you, that very first Monday, you get up and have your quiet time before you go to work. You get that established, you know. If you'll do that and just, you know, the very first day. Only was I was telling somebody that day, were you the one? I think so. But start the first day. Why don't you start the first day the way you want to go this summer? And this, before you go to work, you just get up and have a quiet time. And I'd say, oh, man, that's 30 minutes early. Yeah, it won't wreck your health. I mean, I promise you it won't. So just get started the way you want to go. And if you will do that, I think you're going to find you can have a tremendous summer. Now, what are some of the dangers you face? I've already said something about it. Old habit patterns. Some of you did not walk with God in high school. You're going back to the very place you once lived, where you so lived in defeat. You're going to face some of those old habits. It's going to be so easy for you to fall in the old habits you had back in high school. So watch out for that. Just especially being at home. You know, being served all the time, letting your mother pick up after you. You know, treating you like you were a little kid. So watch out for some of your old habit patterns. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Now, when you become a Christian, what's new? Well, you have a new spirit, but your mind must be renewed, Paul said. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, we're to renew our minds. Just because you become a Christian doesn't mean that you automatically drop the way you thought about things. And so you've got to work on your mind. And that's why filling your mind with the Word of God, the Scriptures, things like that, so you begin to think in new ways. Another problem for some of you can be old dating patterns. Some of you dated before you walked with God. Right? And some of the things you did before you walked with God on dates are not things you want to do now. And I'm not talking about real immoral things. I'm not talking about sleeping with each other. I'm talking about maybe things that are not honoring to the Lord now because you're stirring up desires you cannot righteously satisfy. And because you have no commitment to that person and you're taking liberties like you did. And so it may be old dating patterns and things like that that you need to watch out for. Now, what can you do to help eliminate some problems and help your summer be very satisfying? Number one is make your number one objective to walk with God. See, if that's your number one objective, it's not to go home and have fun. It's not just your job. It's not just to go to school or whatever you're doing, but my number one objective is to walk with God, to get to know Him. Now, as I'm getting to know Him, I may go to school. As I'm getting to know Him, I will work. But that's my number one priority, is to get to know Him, fellowship with Him, walk with Him with all my heart. And things like getting your quiet time established. You know, I read that it takes 45 days to really develop a habit. Well, do you know that a month and a half after school's out, you could have some habits that are real habits? You know, one of the greatest servants that you'll ever have in your whole life is called a habit. And you can build good habits. And that is, like, quiet time can become a habit. I mean, it really can. If you'd have a quiet time every day for 45 days, you'd probably have it pretty well established and on the road where you could probably keep it. And so, do some things. Set some objectives early before you ever go home. You might want to talk with some others. But what are some things you want to accomplish this summer? I'd say if you get a chance, attend maybe a training program. You're going to have some opportunities, like at home, for working with young people. Another thing is pray for your buddies. You know, we've produced the prayer book. And incidentally, we used a scanner, and Barbara's just learning to use it. So some of you are fat, some of you are skinny, some of you are your face, but we can recognize you, okay? That's the purpose of this book, is to recognize you. Now, really, Alan Miracle, you're not as ugly as this, I'll assure you, okay? So, some of us in here don't look so hot, but you can recognize us, all right? And the purpose of this little prayer book, we'll do better next year. But the purpose of this prayer book is so that you can pray, and it's divided such that you could pray for every person on the ministry team every week. And it has so many for you to pray for on Sunday, so many to pray for on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. If you would do that, you could pray for everyone on the ministry team every week. And, you know, in the summers, you know, there's times that if I miss a day, I can go back and pick it up. But there have been summers when I didn't miss a single week praying for every person on the ministry team. If I missed Tuesday, I'd pick it up later. But see, we can pray for each other in the summer and help each other in that way. So I would say pray for your friends and get to know the Lord. Work on your scripture memory and your review. Things like this that you just feel like, I've toyed around with them. I've worked on it some, but this summer would be a great time to work on that. Some of you heard me tell the story when I was in seminary. One day I go over to the barber shop, and this old barber cut many of the seminary professors' hairs and other people, and his nephew used to come in. Every time his nephew came in, because his nephew had been around the Navigator some, when his nephew would get up in the chair, he always had his verse back, and he'd be sharing his verses. And he said, you know, it's amazing to me, Max. I cut these seminary professors' hair and others. But he said, I always look forward to my nephew coming in. Said he never comes in, and he says, Uncle Denny, let me share a verse with you I've been learning. And he said, you know, I got to thinking one day, if you don't have to memorize something, you don't memorize it unless it means something to you. And I thought, isn't that interesting? That old barber had something figured out. If you don't have to memorize something, you don't memorize it unless it means something to you. So if you don't memorize the Bible, if you don't memorize verses, it may be because they don't mean anything to you. And so you may ought to look, why is that true? Other thing I'd say to you, many of you, you've heard many messages this year. You've got notes from Glen Erie. You've got notes from Vespers. You've got things that you've heard. It's a great time to pull those out, kind of go over them, thoughts, ideas. Sometimes I can remember an illustration that I heard 25 years ago, or I'll find myself meeting with someone and I'll share something that I heard Waylon Moore say in Ridgecrest, North Carolina in 1958 when I was a junior in college, because I took notes. And one day I had breakfast with him and I went back to my room because I didn't want to ever forget what he said, and I wrote it down. And I remember over 35 years ago when I was, Sandra and I were praying about where we'd get married or not, and I went to this conference and I got some time with a speaker. And so we got aside and he shared something with me. He said, you know, Max, when you start to get married, there are three things that are really important. He said, number one, is she a Christian? He said, number two, is she a committed Christian? And he said, number three, is she interested in your type of ministry? Is she really interested in what you're doing? And so, boy, I go back to my room, and I'd taken some little scribbling notes, and I went back and wrote that down because I never, ever wanted to forget that. And I can remember that clearly, and that was over 35 years ago. Let me tell you, we sang a while ago, God, speak to me. I will listen. I will obey. If I were to ask you, why don't you jot down the three main points of any three sermons you've ever heard in your whole life? Could you do it? And I'm not saying you have to remember necessarily always the three points. But how many times is God going to have to tell you something before you do it? I mean, sometimes God speaks and God speaks and God speaks and God speaks. And 4 years later, you're still struggling with it. We need to be obedient to what God has to say to us. God, why should God give you any more light if you've not responded to the light that He's already given? So go back over your notes. You know, you remember something Mike Story said at the Glen. Why don't you pull those notes and go over them? You know, I remember, I'll never forget, going to hear Chester Schwor when I was in college. And he spoke at First Baptist Church I was in College Station, and Bryan's just a few miles away. And he was speaking at a breakfast every morning at 6:30. And I was a college student. I didn't have a car. My roommate didn't want to get out my borrow his car and go in at 6:30 to hear him. And boy, I'll never forget one day him speaking about our attitudes. And I took notes, and I went home that day, and I wrote that down. I can remember that story as clearly today as when I heard that thing. And that was in 1958. And he told about a man being on a train. And he was on this train, and he was sitting behind two ladies. And across from him was a soldier boy holding a baby. And the baby was crying, and the soldier boy was doing all he could to keep the baby quiet, and it was obvious he was having a hard time. And Chester heard these two ladies talking in front of him. One of them whispered to the other, said, "Wonder where the kid's mother is." And the other lady said, "Oh, she probably ran off to another man while he is away at the war." Says, "You know, that's the way they do nowadays." And Chester's sitting behind hearing that. And he sees this soldier boy over there, and he's having this little baby's crying and crying, and he can't seem to get the baby to stop. And he looks across the street, across the aisle, and there's a heavy-set lady there. And she probably overhears the lady. She's sitting across the aisle from him, and she looks over to the boy. And she goes up to him and says, "Can I hold your baby?" She said, "Oh, I've raised kids. I know all about babies." And she said, "Soldier, you look so tired. Why don't you give me the diaper bag and let me go take care of the baby? And why don't you go get you something to eat? You look so tired." And so she took the baby and left the soldier boy there. After a while, she came back. She had the little baby all cleaned up. The little baby was sound asleep. And the soldier boy had gotten a sandwich and had something to eat. And it was awkward. She didn't know what to say exactly, so she began to talk to him and said, "Could I ask you a question? Are you going somewhere, or are you going home, or what?" And he said, "Well, I was in France during the war. And I got word that I was going to be on leave. And said my wife was expecting a baby. And said I was looking forward to coming home and being there for the birth of the child. And I started home. And I'd gotten partway home and war broke out again. And they sent word to all the train stations, every furlough is canceled. Within 48 hours, be back on your way to the front." So he said, "I called my wife and said, 'Honey, I'm so sorry. I can't make it home.' And she said, 'Well, I'll meet you.' And he said, 'No, don't do that. You're too weak, and the baby is due.' And she said, 'No, I've got to see you.' So she started. Well, meantime, the baby was born, and she started to meet him. And she said she had problems. She began to hemorrhage, and she died. I met her on the platform. She handed me the baby. She collapsed, and she died." I've never forgotten that story about our attitude. And those two little ladies, "Wonder where his mother is. Probably ran off with some other guy." They didn't offer to help. But here's this lady. She didn't know what the deal was either, but she could help. So I went back and wrote that story down. I can tell it to you today just like he told it. You know, how many times is God going to have to say something to you before you get it? Use what God tells you and go back and go over and over it and hear what he says. Read some great Christian books. If you don't read biographies, you're missing out on so much. Biographies can so challenge you. Other great books, but especially read biographies of men who walk with God. You know, this summer there'll be 25 students from Kansas State going to spend the summer in China. You know why? You know the number one reason why? More than any other one reason? It's because Bob Anderson probably knows the life of Hudson Taylor better than any man in America. Because when Bob Anderson was a student here, he picks up Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secrets and he reads it. And he was fascinated with the life of Hudson Taylor. He said, read every book. He's read over 25 volumes on Hudson Taylor. Some of them he's read again and again and again. And Bob Anderson said this summer, I pray 2 hours every day I live for China. And that's not even hard to do. No wonder there are 25 kids going to China this summer. Started with him reading a biography. And then minister to someone this summer. Wherever you are, there are people that you could minister to. There's someone you can help. Pray God will give you someone to help. You might think, well, I'm not very far along. You don't have to be very far along. You know, I know after my freshman year in college, and I'd never heard a follow-up. No one had ever told me, once you come along, then you need to help somebody else. But as I began to grow, I went home and began to pray that God would give me someone to help. And I found a young boy, high school kid, and we began to spend hours together. And I helped him. And God began to do a work in his life and still is till this day. I'd say another thing. If you're going to be home or you're where you can, get a job and work hard. Some of you are so in debt. I mean, you cannot believe how hard it's going to be for you to get out of debt. And if you can at all, you keep from borrowing money and you work and you scrimp and you do everything you can to work during the summer and save money so that when you've not mortgaged your future. Some of you, when you get out of school, if God calls you to the mission field, you will not go because you're going to have to stay home and pay off your debts. So I would say get you a job and work hard. Save some money. Many of you that could live at home and you could really save if you would. So I would encourage you to do that. Get in shape physically. Some of you, it's hard maybe for you to jog or do the things you need to do, but it's a great time in the summer to get some time in the fresh air, to discipline yourself, to get in shape physically. Spend time in prayer. We've already said about that. And then pray and plan for your ministry next summer. Some of you live in the dorms, and you know where you're going to be living. You're going to be living on the 8th floor walker. Why don't you go up and just draw you a map of the 8th floor walker, and you know every room, and you go home this summer, and you pray. And you say, God, I want to pray for this person that lives in room 812. I don't know who it is, but God, will you be working in that person's life? And you begin to pray over the area where you'll be living. And develop faithfulness even in the dry times. You know, there'll be times that you don't want to have a quiet time. You don't want to memorize verses. You don't want to do maybe what you need to do. Well, learn to discipline yourself to do what's right because it's right, not because you feel like it. I think most of you have already found out in college or while you're here, that you don't just study when you feel like it. If you do, you're in trouble. And so, learn to develop some discipline. Quit looking for shortcuts to spiritual maturity. There are not any. There are not any. And so, spend time with the Lord. Pray. Get to know Him. Get some time with godly people. You know, there are godly people in the church where you'll be this summer that love to spend time with you. You know, a student here a number of years ago who's now in Malawi as a missionary, he and his wife. He went home that summer and he said, you know, God, I really wish I could meet a missionary. I'm thinking about missions. And God, would you put me in contact? And he said the very first Sunday at home, a missionary couple joined his church. And he started spending some time with them. And he said to me one time, he said, you know what I'd really like to do this summer? I'd like to go over. I wish I could go over to Africa this summer and maybe visit those missionaries. I said, well, then why don't you ask them if you can come spend a summer with them? He said, really? I said, well, you just said you want to go to Africa, spend a summer with them. Why don't you ask them if you can? And he did. He said, would it be all right if I came? Well, we'd love to have you. Well, he went to Africa. He found out he loved Africa. Now he's a missionary to Africa. There are a lot of things you could do in the summer to get time with people. You know, sometimes people say, well, you know, I went to the BSU and I never got any time with Max. He's always busy. Or he's not in the office very much. Or whatever. And that's right, I'm not. Usually when I'm out in the office, it's because I want to be with people, because I can get more done as far as time with the Lord and things I need to do at home. But you know, one time somebody was griping at the Glen Eyrie. They had a training program there for college students, and somebody said, boy, I sure would like to get some time with Lauren Sanney, president of the Navigator. Sure would like to get some time with him. The guy said, no, you wouldn't. You don't want to gain time, Lauren Sanney. He said, yeah, I'd really like to. He said, no, you wouldn't. He said, if you want to get time, Lauren Sanney, you get time, Lauren Sanney. He said, you know what Lauren Sanney's doing this morning? He said, no. He said, I know what he's doing this morning. You know what I heard him say he's doing a while ago? He's going to clean out his garage. If you want to get some time, Lauren Sanney, he'd be delighted for you to come over and have him clean out his garage and you could visit. Some of you know Jack Combs. Some of you that go to Wildwood. I met Jack Combs when he was 18, went on a trip with him to Canada. God changed his life on that trip. Jack Combs is at the Glen one summer. And he got to know a guy by the name of George Sanchez. One day he heard George Sanchez was going to South America. He's going to take a mission trip and be gone a few weeks. And so Jack began to pray. He thought, man, I sure would like to go with George. I'd love to get some time with George. And probably if we went all the way to South America and spent 4 weeks together, I'd get some time with George. And so he goes to George Sanchez and he says, George, who's going to South America with you? He says, nobody. And he kind of stands there and shuffles his feet. George said, why? Why'd you ask? Would you like to go with me? He said, yeah. I'd like to go with you. George said, well, why don't we pray about that? And let's see if God's in that. Okay, let's pray about that. So, guess who went to South America with him? You know how many other kids in that training program? 49 or something like that. Who got to go? Jack. He gets back and somebody said, man, I wish I could have gone with George. Well, why didn't you ask him? And somebody said, boy, I'd sure like to get some time with Linda. Well, you could if you wanted to. You want to go up and help decorate for the banquet? Or would you like to do something? Or do you just want somebody to, when it's convenient for you to walk in and sit down, you open your little notebook and you smile and say, would you spend some time with me? See, there's ways to get time with people if you really want to. Now go home and have some fun and relax and learn to live a balanced life. And come back to school refreshed in body and soul and spirit. And be ready to have a great year next year. But you can have a great summer. And just trust God. Go home. Have a great time. but do the things you need to do. And you can come back next year, and you'll be much further down the road and much better able to have a ministry. Now let's pray together. Father, I'm grateful for everyone that's here. We all look back and we're amazed at how good you are to us, what you've taught us this year, what we have learned. And Father, I know I've not applied everything I've heard. I've not always used my time wisely. I really want to, and I pray for all of us that we would be people. And Lord, we don't want to live under guilt or that we never can relax, but we also don't want to just slop along through life. We'd like to be like Jesus. He moved with purpose, but he could be interrupted at any time and you could stop and talk with him. And we want to be like that. We don't want to appear rushed and frantic, but we want to move through life with purpose. And Father, I pray that we would be faithful to each other. And there's some here that will really pray for their friends. But then there are those here that won't really be much a part of the team when it comes to praying. And God, would you help us to love each other, pray for each other this summer, care about each other's welfare, that we can come back to this campus next year better able to serve you, that more people might come to know you and more people might learn to love you. So we're thankful, Father. Now summer's coming, and Lord, I know they get by so fast. So would you help us to use this summer and invest it such that it counts for all eternity, and that honor and glory is brought to your name, that we're built up in the faith. And Father, would you help us in our own homes and back at homes and with roommates or at jobs or wherever we are, in places where it's so easy to be unkind. And Father, would you help us to be servants to our moms and dads and our brothers and sisters, and that mom doesn't always have to tell us what to do, or dad doesn't have to tell us when the lawn needs to be mowed, but we would look for ways to serve them. And Father, I think of Amy that went to the Glen with us, high school senior, and her dad comes the other day, and she's planning to come to school here, and they walk around the campus, and he shows her where he became a Christian. And then, suddenly, at 48, he dies of a heart attack. And Father, some of these students, it may be the last summer they ever spend with their mom and dad. And I pray, regardless of how many years we have, that they'll go home, not just preach to their parents, but they'll see that they're different. And that they'll be kind and loving and helpful. And that they'll win the hearts. And I remember just reading the tribute that was read at Amy's dad's funeral of her brother. And how he said when his brother became a Christian, the first thing he did is he shared it with his little brother. And he said, I wanted to go to OU because my brother went to OU. I wanted to be involved in the BSU because my brother had been involved in the BSU. And Father, may we set that kind of example to those that we're around. And Lord, we commit our summers to you. And would you do in our lives what you want to this summer? Because we've prayed in Jesus' name. Amen.